Continuing expositorily through the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, and we're picking it up in verse 27. Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. That's Moses and Elijah. Now, here's a question for you. How did they recognize him? Oh, wow. You ever wonder about some of those things? They just knew automatically who they were. Moses and Elijah. Verse 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. What are they talking about? What's Moses and Elijah and Jesus talking about? They're talking about the cross. They're talking about the gospel. They're talking about Jesus going to Jerusalem to die and suffer on a cross for the sins of the world. Verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Amen. I told the one young girl this morning, Grandma had her out there holding on to her out in the chair. Right after the service, I went out there. And I said, well, what are you doing out here instead of in church? I said, you weren't making noise in church, were you? She says, yeah, I was. And I said, you can't do that. There's people trying to sleep in there. Amen. Some of you will get that when you wake up. All right. Verse 32, and it came to pass as they departed from him. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 32, we didn't finish it. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him. Well, Jesus had just told him back in verse 27, some of you standing here, you're going to see it. They saw it. They saw a glimpse of it. They're seeing a glimpse of Jesus Christ in his glory, in his glorified body. Verse 33, and it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Well, that's Peter. Peter's just got to say something. He doesn't know what he's saying, but he's got to say something. You want some helpful advice? If you're not sure what to say, don't say anything. Safer. Peter always had to learn the hard way. Verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. They feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And boy, they had seen something there, no doubt about it. Now, we had just recently finished up a series of lessons in Sunday school, in our adult Sunday school, on rightly dividing the Scriptures. And it's interesting, with just in this passage here, basically you can see four dispensations. You've got the Old Testament. See, you've got Moses and Elijah. That's the law and the prophets. Old Testament. You've got the church age. What are they talking about? Jesus going to the cross. What did he just get done talking about, verses 23 to 26? Bearing a cross after Jesus is going to go and be slain on the cross, verse 22. See, church age. What else do you have? Well, Moses and Elijah are the ones that are going to show up. When? In the tribulation period. And then what happens after the tribulation? You have the kingdom. You have the kingdom. And you have all four of those dispensations all within this small portion of Scripture right here. And this morning's message, I preached on obedience and why we should obey the Lord. Is this fresh water? Is it fresh? All right, well, tell it needs to stop talking back then. All right. Never mind. Okay. This morning's message on obedience, following the Lord, listening to the Lord, as he tells us to, and the reasons that we should. But here's the problem. The day and age that you and I live in, let's face it, there's plenty of people out there saying that they're obeying the Lord. There's plenty of people out there that say they're doing it God's way. Amen? I mean, you got the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they say they're right, and the Mormons, and they say they're right, and the Catholics, and they say they're right, and Church of Christ, and the Seventh-day Adventists, and all that. They all say they're right, and they're the only ones obeying the Lord. And listen, it all depends on who you're getting your orders from. And the title of the message this evening is simply this: who are you listening to? You say, I'm hearkening, I'm obeying, I'm listening. To who? See? Are you truly listening to God? Who is your authority? Who have you been listening to? And Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know the thing that'll discourage more preachers than anything else? Is when you say the same thing over and over again, and people still don't hear it. Amen. You know what I've had people, you just got to keep going on. You can't get discouraged about it. I've had church members come up to me after we've had some guest preacher in and say something about what that preacher said. Man, I never heard that before. And I'm thinking back, I said, I was just preaching on that last week. I just taught that back in, you know, and it, but what it is, a lot of times people hear, they're not hearing, they're not listening. The question is, who are you listening to? And in this passage, there are several different choices on who you could listen to. And we see, first of all, here, look with me, we have these two men, Moses and Elias, verse 30, and they're showing up, and Peter and James and John are up on that mountain. And while they're there, the Bible says they're talking. It says in verse 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. There's Moses and Elijah talking. And as far as Peter and James and John are concerned, man, that's Moses and Elijah. We better listen to them. Now listen, that's what Israel had been doing for thousands of years. They had been obeying the voice of Moses, the voice of Elijah, the prophets, that whole time. And no wonder they were some great men. They were some great men. Moses was a great man. We talked about that this morning, how Moses was willing to forsake all that Egypt offered him to obey and follow the Lord. There's few ever that have given up as much for God as Moses has. And then you think of the greatness of Elijah. He's the standard bearer of the prophets. He's the prophet of the prophets. This is the first fellow that ever shows up and controls the weather, raises the dead, boldness to speak against the king. And this is the problem, though. Listen, if that's who you're listening to, you're going to get all messed up. There's a lot of people today saying, I'm going to obey the commandments in the Sermon on the Mount, and somehow think that's going to do something for them. You know what the problem is? You're listening to the wrong message. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, you can check it out if you want. He says that the law and the prophets were until John. Why does he say that? Meaning what? If it's until John, what's he saying? Something new is about to happen. So you better be careful who you're listening to. Does that mean that we can't get some many helpful things from the prophets, from Moses? Well, of course we can. But we need to remember the words that John the Apostle said in John chapter 1 and verse 17. It was John himself that spoke up for Jesus Christ, and he said, "The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." There's people still today trying to earn their way into heaven by keeping the commandments or keeping the Sabbath. That's not how you get into heaven today. You get into heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. See, as you get into the New Testament in the epistles, therefore we conclude, Galatians 3:16, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh living be justified. You couldn't be justified by even if you try, if you did keep all the commandments. You can't. And listen, there's nothing wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with the commandments. The problem is there's something wrong with you and I. And so Jesus had to come to redeem us from that curse of the law. The Bible says all the law brought for you and I was a curse. The Bible says the law was simply a schoolmaster, Galatians chapter 5, I believe, to bring us to Christ. That's the whole purpose of the law. What was it for? It was to be a magnifying glass so that sin would become exceeding sinful so that man would see his need for a redeemer, for the atonement offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of man's innate problem, one of man's problems is he's self-righteous. See? And man thinks, well, I'm good enough to earn a way into heaven. After all, if he can do it, so can I. And no, that's why God gives that law. There's nobody that could, with an honest heart, read that law and say, oh yeah, I've kept all that. No way. See? So what does that do? It condemns you. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can't be a good person and go to heaven. That's what people think. That's what they're blind to, the simplicity of Christ. It's not about you earning it or being good enough to get into heaven. I am not good enough to get into heaven. I never will be good enough to get into heaven. I don't plan on being good enough to get into heaven. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ was good enough. Amen. So the question is, who are you listening to? Notice, look there in verse 34, while he thus spoke. Who? That's Peter. While he thus spoke, what's he saying? Well, let's make here three tabernacles. One for Jesus. One for Moses. One for Elijah. What's he doing? He's putting all them on equal ground. You know what he doesn't understand yet? Who Jesus really is. And you know what's weird about that? What did he just get done saying? Thou art the Christ of God. They got it, but they didn't get it. Still kind of giving an even foot. Well, here's great Moses, great Elijah, great Jesus. You know what people like to do today? They like to say, oh yeah, well, Jesus is great, but Muhammad was great, and Buddha was great, and they like to put these other people on the... There is nobody that you can put on the same plane as Jesus Christ. Nobody. Amen? And so what does God say? Notice what he said. Verse 34, while he thus spake, there came a cloud, overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him, not Moses. Hear him, not Elijah. Hear him, not the news media. Hear him, not Darwin. Hear him, not Muhammad. God, speaking from heaven, said, you hear my Son. Listen to him. And so, who are you listening to? We ought to be listening to Jesus Christ. That's what we're told. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear who? Him. Hear him. He was the one that came to this world, the living Word. Hear him. Words of grace and truth. words of kindness, words of power, words of authority. The Bible says his word was with authority. The Bible says that the people heard him gladly. They said, never man spake like this man. Could you imagine having been there 2,000 years ago? Actually being there in Judea and Galilee, witnessing the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke, as he taught, as he dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as he groomed and discipled his followers. Man, to have heard those words. Many tried to catch him in his words, and they never could. I guarantee you try to catch me in my words, sooner or later you'll do it. Congratulations. Nobody could catch him in his words. Jesus Christ never had to submit a retraction to the headlines for the newspaper. Amen. He never had to take anything back, he said. Not one time in the life of Jesus Christ did he ever have to say, oh, that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is, he never had to do that. Every word that came out of his mouth was the exact proper word to be spoken at the exact proper time. That's amazing. Who are you going to liken to him? Jesus said, the words that I speak bear witness of me that I am the one that the Father sent into the world. His words healed. His words raised the dead. His words rebuked. His words convicted. His words gave understanding. His words gave light. But according to the Bible, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he's ascended up to the right hand of the Father. And he'll be seated there until he comes to take us home. Now, we're supposed to hear him, but he's not here. So who are you listening to? Well, we know who we really need to be listening to. The only reason we've listened to Jesus Christ is why? Who told us to? Huh? Who's the supreme authority? Check it out. Look back there in verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a shadow and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered in the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Who's speaking there? God the Father himself speaking. Talk about a handful. Talk about a select few. Whoever actually heard the Father himself speak from heaven. I'm not talking about an impression. You with me? I understand sometimes the Lord will kind of give us an impression. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an audible voice. Well, Brother Ray, I hear audible voices all the time. Okay. All right. There's medication available that helps with that. Amen. See, that's not what we're talking about here. But there's been a select few that actually heard God himself speak. It's been few, but there have been some. Moses, God spoke directly to Moses. The prophets, David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch. God has spoken with people down through the years. But when you figure it all out, it's probably been maybe one per billion. I heard a story one time, and it's a fellow, and he was in one of these sanitariums, one of these psych wards. I guess now you call them mental hospitals, so it's like everything else. We clean it up and make it doesn't sound that bad, you know. But he was in a psychiatric ward. And he's in there, and it's lunchtime, and they're all bringing their trays through. And everybody signs in and goes through as they go in. And as he's going in, he says, hey, Jim, good to see you again. He says, don't call me Jim. What? Don't call me Jim. Why? My name isn't Jim. My name is Moses. Okay, Jim, have you been taking your medication? I don't need to take medication. I'm Moses. Well, let me ask you something, Jim. Who told you you were Moses? And he just stood right like this. And he goes, God did. And another fellow standing right behind him steps out and says, I did not. Everybody says, oh, God told me this and God told me that. You know what Jesus said? All that ever came before me were liars. Liar. God told me. That's usually the people that end up killing a bunch of people that say that. You watch out for these people that say God told them. Amen? Jesus said, all that ever came before me were liars. And if you say that God speaks to you all the time, you're nuts or you're a liar. Amen. Wait a minute, I might not have said that where you understood me. Let me make sure I'm understandable. If you're one of those people that says God speaks to you in an audible voice, you're crazy, or you're a liar, or the one that's speaking to you ain't God. Maybe the God of this world, but it ain't God. Amen, amen. You got a guy calls himself the Pope. You know what title he has? Listen, you know what title he has? You want to talk about blasphemy? You shouldn't talk against other people. That's because, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. Learn the Bible. Now listen, they call him Holy Father. That's his title. Holy Father? I know who my Holy Father is. And it ain't some guy sitting on a throne in Rome with half a grapefruit on his head. My Holy Father is seated on a throne in the third heaven. And Jesus Christ is at his right hand. That's my Holy Father. Who are you listening to? They say that when he speaks out of the throne, they call that ex cathedra, and that's God speaking. And when he speaks ex cathedra, it's just as if God showed up and spoke. Now, you know what I call that? I call that a cult. A lot of people don't like to call it a cult because there's so many people in it. We might seem like bad people. No, they're bad people. They're in the cult. Amen. It's a cult. That's what it is. That's why they worship statues. That's why they worship Mary. See, you know what your problem is? You don't realize that that thing has divine satanic protection on it, preparing for the Antichrist. That's what's going on. That thing's protected by the devil. Listen, if I told you that I was going to go and celebrate a mass, and we were going to wear black and robes and light candles and have incense and do chants, what would you think I was doing? And drink blood and eat flesh, what would you think I was doing? You see, I'm giving you light right now, and you don't get it from the television. You think there's something weird with me. It ain't me. It's this world that's in darkness. And I'm punching through, and I'm puff, 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 giving you light on that. So, I know it's shocking, but it's good for you. Amen. It'll help you realize that this world ain't nothing but a pack of lies. That's what it is. Get out of it. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm having a good time tonight. I got liberty tonight. Is that all right if I just go ahead and preach a little bit? Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Isn't it sad? You've got all these people out there giving up meat on Fridays and they'll still end up in hell. You got people giving up an opportunity to get a blood transfusion and they'll still end up in hell. You got people trying to keep the Sabbath on Saturdays when the Bible says it's from Friday evening to Saturday evening, Jerusalem time. Thinking that that's what's going to get in heaven, they'll end up in hell. Isn't that sad? You got people giving up Coca-Cola and coffee? Thinking that's going to earn them a way into heaven? And that's sad, and they end up burning in hell. What's the problem? They've been listening to the wrong voice. They've been listening to the wrong voice. They weren't listening to the right voice. What happened to Adam and Eve? God said, Adam, don't eat off that tree. Then there came another voice. Yay Hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? Maybe God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and God is trying to hold something back from you. God doesn't want what's best for you. I've come to set you free. I've come to give you your civil rights. Follow me. Whose voice are you listening to? Is it science? Is it the news media? Is it Hollywood? Who have you been following? Who've been obeying? Who have you been listening to? Now, you know what Christians do? They spend all week out in that world with all the garbage on the radio and all the garbage on the television and all the garbage at the workplace. And then you come in here and then you get shocked when I tell you something contrary to what you're hearing out there. The problem isn't me. Like the old saying goes, if you're rubbing the cat the wrong way, maybe you need to turn the cat around. Amen. Now that's the deal. The question is simply this: who have you been listening to? And so we see in this whole thing, God shows up, Jesus in His glory, God's in the cloud, Moses and Elijah. Well, Brother Ray, I'm confused. Who should I listen to? Well, let me give you the rest of the story, and I think we'll make that very plain this evening. If you would, please, hold your place here in Luke, and look with me in 2 Peter. See if I can tie this up in a nice, pretty bow, get you out of here kind of early and ready for camp. See, I shouldn't say that. Now you're all excited, like you think it's only two more minutes in the message, and I get your hopes up. All right. Trust me, I will be short. All right. Second Peter chapter 1 in verse... Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. Verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Notice, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. What's that? Oh man, somebody came up with a good story. Peter's saying, that ain't what we're talking about, fellas. We're not just following some story we made up to try to scare people or freak people out or get people to follow us. That ain't what this is about. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of majesty. Peter's saying, hey, I was there. Hey, I saw it. I saw Jesus Christ and Moses and Elijah in their glory. I was the one opening my mouth and talking about building three tabernacles. I witnessed that entire thing. This ain't no story we made up. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Verse 17, what happened? For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice. Can you imagine what that must have sounded like? The Bible talks about many waters or thunderings. Actually hearing the Father speak. When He spoke to Moses, what that must have sounded like. And yet, Elisha, when he says it was a still, small voice. Weird. But such power in it. He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. What did that voice say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Peter James, John. You know what epistles you got right there? James, Peter, John. Revelation is John. Gospel of John, John. Those fellas writing. Those fellas were there. Those fellas witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory. Those fellas witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Those fellas witnessed the empty tomb. Those fellas witnessed the resurrected Christ. They saw it. Those fellas were sent out to accomplish the will of the Lord. Those fellas in Acts chapter 2 were there when the Holy Ghost came down. When Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. They'd seen it. They've witnessed it. And Peter says, we were there and we heard the voice of God speak. We were there. We heard Moses and Elijah speak. We were there. We walked for 3.5 years with our Lord Jesus Christ and heard Him speak. And then what does he say? Look at the next verse. And we have also, is that how it starts? Help me out. Huh? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What do you mean, Peter? Something more sure than if you heard God speak from heaven. Let's face it, if you did hear a voice, how would you know it was God? How would you know it wasn't the fact that you had too much pepperoni pizza the night before you went to bed? How do you know somebody didn't slip some drugs on you or something? You know. Is that your excuse all the time? Okay, amen. We have also a more sure word, something more sure than a voice from heaven. Something more sure than witnessing Jesus Christ speaking on the earth. Something more sure than the voice of Moses and Elijah. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Who are we supposed to be listening to? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy of the Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You looking for the voice of God? You've been listening to God? You know where the voice of God is? You know where you're going to hear from God today? Right there. Nowhere else. Right there. You say, well, God gave me an impression. I felt like the Lord was speaking to me. Fine! As long as it goes along with that book. What's your final authority for truth? You see, they get on us Bible believers. That means that we believe in an actual book with actual words that's perfect. Amen. The King James Bible. Well, I believe all the versions are just as good. Well, you don't believe anything. Because all the versions are different, which means you don't care about words. They don't mean anything to you. Let me ask you something. Is the love of money the root of all evil, or is the love of money a root of evil? That's not the same thing. Which one is it? Because only the King James Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Is it or isn't it? You understand me? See what I mean, jelly bean? See? Are you to be worried about oppositions of science, falsely so-called? Because a warning against science is only found in a King James Bible. You know, the archaic one. You with me? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. 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 We are not as many which corrupt the Word of God.
See?
2 Corinthians 2:17. You won't find that in new Bibles. They don't like that word, corrupt. Why do you think that is? You understand, when we say we're King James Bible believing, that means we're real Bible believers. Meaning we have a book that we can hold in our hands, and when we hold it in our hands, we know, thus saith the Lord. These guys out there saying they're called to preach that don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, either they've missed their calling or they don't know what they're called to. Because the Bible says for a preacher, he's to do what? Preach the Word. How are you going to do that with authority if you don't even believe it? Well, this is an unfortunate translation. And actually, what this should say in the original is, oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. The original Greek, the original. You ever heard that? The original Greek, the original. That's a liar. There's no such thing. You know what you think? There's a Bible somewhere around that originally has all the originals in it. All what Paul wrote. No, there is no such thing. God promised to preserve his words. He either did or he didn't. If he didn't preserve his words, why would you count on him preserving your soul? We okay? You say, what are you doing? Listen, Psalm 138, verse 2, I think it's over there somewhere. Where's that one at? Right here. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In God will I praise his word. Well, I don't think you should be a Bible worshiper. Yeah, but you're to praise it and magnify it. Why aren't you? Amen, amen. You're supposed to hide it in your heart, are you? You're supposed to read it, are you? Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Good. How many of you husbands love your wives? And don't, one, amen, praise the Lord. Let me try that again just to see if I can get some conviction going here. How many of you husbands love your wives? Amen. And every time they want to say something to you, you turn away and walk away. I'm not trying to give you any ideas. Listen, if you did that, do you really love them? If you love somebody, you'd like to spend some time listening to what they have to say. You love the Lord? Do you listen to him speak? Do you like what he has to say? Do you want to hear more and more and more of what he has to say? This is sure. Do you understand? This doesn't change. We okay? Hey, this is fair. I got the same Bible you do. We all have an opportunity to find out what God had to say. It isn't, well, God said this to me and you that. That's confusion. Listen, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. God has given a simple standard. Standard to go by. Anybody here do any kind of construction work, carpentry, anything like that? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about a little bit anyways when it comes to that stuff. Anybody? A couple? All right. Now, how long is a yard? Someone tell me. Huh? 36 inches? Well, my backyard is a lot longer than that, but... Okay, 36 inches, which is three what? You didn't think there's going to be a test tonight, I understand. That's 36 inches, 3 feet, 12 inches, and 1 foot. You know what that is? That's a standard. What happened if I gave you a ruler and it was just a little different? What if I told you this is what I think a measurement should be and you say, well, this is what I think a measurement. How would you get anything done? You'd end up with a house looking like this, man. Huh? See, everybody, when they say 12 inches, everybody knows what you're talking about. Because there's a standard. And in this book, these words, this holy scripture is a standard for our lives. The Bible demands for itself our obedience, for to the degree in which we obey, to that degree the divine author will reveal its secrets. Did you hear that? The more you're willing to listen to God and obey God when He speaks in the Bible, the more of the Bible He'll begin to show you and reveal to you. You know, we just want God to show us a bunch of information so we can think, wow, look at all I know. God says, if you're not willing to obey it and go by it, why should I show you anything? The divine author will reveal its secrets and answer the deepest problems of our inquiring minds. The Bible gives the only reasonable explanation for the origin of the world. The Bible gives a clear, simple explanation of the cause of human failure, sin, and suffering. The Bible gives and solves the problems of death and gives us a sure and certain hope of eternal life. The Bible provides a way of salvation in Christ whereby sinful men can find peace and acceptance with God. The Bible solves the problems of the future of man, promising a new heaven and a new earth. And I know in camp this week, for the memory verses, I guess the plan, if I'm right, is that each individual person there at camp, moms, dads, kids, are going to memorize certain verses of Psalm 119 so that we can all get up together and one by one quote Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And what is the longest chapter in the Bible about? It's about the Bible. That's what God thinks of it. The Bible is one of the simplest books in the world. For where is the child who does not enjoy and understand its delightful stories? And yet, the Bible is the most profound book in the world. For it contains also the deep things of God. The Bible is the cheapest book in the world for its size. And yet more money has been expended for a single copy than for any other book in the world. The Bible is the most available book in the world, printed in more languages and dialects than any other book. The Bible has had the greatest moral influence in the world, enlivening man's conscience, elevating womanhood, sanctifying family life. It condemns falsehood, covetousness, hatred, murder, impurity, idolatry in all its forms. The Bible is the most quoted book in the world by all classes, creeds, and persuasions. Men cannot get away from its wisdom, knowledge, and influence. Yet the Bible is the most hated book in the world. For men have sought to destroy it and to forbid its possession. At this current time, I believe, if I'm correct, there's, last I checked, I think 17 countries where it's illegal to own the Word of God. And for some, being caught with a Bible is the death penalty. Check this fellow out. His name is Vincent. He was a witch doctor in Cuba. It's a true story. He announced one day to his wife, "This town is so terrible that we shall have to move. We can't raise our children here." The little town in the mountains of Cuba, where Vincent lived, had indeed degenerated through drunkenness, gambling, lust, crime, so that even Vincent, whose nefarious religious traffic was largely responsible for much of this condition, feared for his family. Soon after his decision to move, while visiting a nearby city, Vincent discovered a Bible. He did not know what it was, except that it appeared to be a religious book. And being a religious man, he bought it and took it home. A spiritualistic seance was scheduled for his home that night. But instead of the usual program, Vincent decided to read his newly acquired Bible to the people who had gathered. As he read, they were all greatly impressed and wanted more. So night after night, Vincent read the Bible to those mountain people. When some of the listeners wanted Bibles for themselves, Vincent went back to the city, bought additional copies, and brought them to his followers. Soon lives began to be transformed. Drunkards stopped their drinking. Gamblers began to earn an honest living. People were praying, telling their acquaintances what a wonderful thing it was to have a friend like the Jesus of the Bible. Vincent was much surprised at what was happening, and especially at what happened in his own life through reading the book. He didn't plan for anything. He just curiosity. Next thing you know, he's reading this Bible. Other people are reading the Bible. And what begins to happen just from people reading a book? Hearing that there were Christian churches that used the Bible, he found the address of a missionary and invited him to come. The missionary came, found many people convicted of sin, some converted. As a result, a church of born-again, committed Christians was formed, and Vincent became their preacher and teacher. Began to visit nearby villages and witness to the people, with the results of the spiritual miracles taking place in many places. The Bible always bears fruit in Cuba or anywhere else in the world. So shall my word be that cometh forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. Cast thy bread upon many waters. Why? Hey, sooner or later, you come back. Put it out. Holding forth the word of life. It's this book right here that gave me life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What's your final authority? Who have you been listening to? Hey, you going by your thoughts? You going by your feelings? You going by what somebody said? You going by the word of God? What's your final authority? When we stand before the Lord one day, the word that I speak unto you, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's what we're given account by. Not by what Brother Ray says, not by what Brother Nate says, what the word of God says. Now, if we line up with the Bible, guess what? You're going to give an account. You're going to give an account to a book. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books. Every man according to his works. If thou art merry, here are heirs. If melancholy, here are prayers. If studious, here are those things writ which may deserve thy ablest wit. If hungry, here is food divine. If thirsty, nectar, heavenly wine. Read then, but first thyself prepare to read with zeal and mark with care. And when thou readest what there is writ, let thy best practice second it. So twice each precept writ should be. First in the book. And then, let's stand for prayer. God, I thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, help us to love it. Help us to read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, listen to it preach, listen to it taught, sing about it. God, that we'd be like those that you told us from the Old Testament that put it everywhere, Lord. Put it on the post, the doors of their house. Put it on the frontlets of their eyes. Taught it to their children. God, this week in youth camp, may the Word of God go forth with power. May it be hid in hearts. May it truly bring forth fruit and change lives. Father, we magnify your Word. We praise your Word. We ask, God, that you'd accomplish your purpose through it, that you'd bring fruit and honor, glory to yourself by the power of the Word of God. Father, we know that everything is held together today by the Word of your power. And many times we underestimate the power of thy Word. God, may we just let it go free, and may it have free course to work in our hearts, to change our minds, to transform our lives, to save families, to renew, to give hope, peace, everlasting life. Pray you were pleased with what was preached. I pray that we would take heed. Hide thy Word in our heart, that we'd obey it, put it into practice in our lives. We thank you for the precious promises of the Word of God. God, that we can hold on to them, hang on to them. In the hard times, the good times, we can go anytime to the Word of God and find help. Now, Lord, you said to sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Have your way in sanctifying us, Lord, and preparing a people zealous of good works by the power of your Word. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think about something for just a second, and we'll close. Can you imagine how pure heaven is? How wonderful heaven must be, no sin. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little heaven down here? You know the closest thing you'll ever get to having heaven down here? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's God's words. That's part of God. This is the only thing that I can see right now from heaven. One day I'm going to be there. Amen. You want to get pure? You want to get clean? Listen, you get around and close to heaven as much as possible. It'll help you. Amen? Stick with the book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Brother Rusty, close us in prayer, please.